Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Support for the City of Smack podcast comes from New Balance Running. I've been waiting a few weeks to finally put this ad read together because I'm excited to share my review of the New Balance SC Elite V4. It is the shoe that I wore to break 3 hours at the Houston Marathon, and now it could be yours. I had my first chance to try on a pair with a secret all-white prototype at the New York City Marathon, and I came away from that race a bit bummed about my time, but with zero issues on my feet, no hot spots or blisters, and my legs weren't as beat up. So while I could have opted for any other shoe, I stuck with the SC Elite V4s. It's got a new PIBA fuel cell midsole, and they updated the carbon fiber plate design to have a more forefoot stiffness, so you get more pop than the other previous versions. They also changed the upper to Phantom Fit, so it secures your foot down. The bonus in all of this is the neon accents. It looks awesome. So if you're looking for a race day shoe, my recommendation right now is the New Balance SC Elite V4. If you're looking for some other new drops from New Balance, there's a Fuel Cell Rebel, which is a lightweight everyday training shoe that's out now. The old reliable Fresh Foam X1080 also has some new colors available. Head on over to newbalance.com/running to check them all out. That's newbalance.com/running. Thanks to New Balance for their support of all things City of Smack. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the City of Smack podcast. I'm Chris Chavez, and this is my show where I get the chance to chat with some of the biggest names on the track, on the roads, within the coaching ranks, and across the running industry. We love giving the listeners a shout out when they leave a review. If you want yours to be read, leave us a 5-star review and let us know why you love this show. This week's review comes to us from Claritata, who wrote, "Got me through my cross training era. Shortly after cross country season ended, I found out I had a pretty high grade stress fracture in my foot that would put me out all of indoor season. I wanted to stay in shape, so I did some insane cross training sessions. City of Smack got me through some of my long run equivalent cross training sessions. Now I'm back and healthy, and my love for the sport has increased even more by staying in the loop through your guys' amazing work. Thank you. So glad to hear that you're back healthy. May you have fast times and personal bests ahead of you. Our silly little podcast may not be able to heal your bones, but it can lift your spirits and track fandom. So thank you, Claritata. My guest for today's episode is Nikki Hiltz. This is their fifth time on the show. Our last interview came after last summer's World Championships in Budapest, and also after they broke the U.S. outdoor mile record at the Monaco Diamond League. The hot streak has continued into 2024. Last month, Nikki won the U.S. Indoor Championships for the second consecutive season, and this past weekend, they ran two personal bests at the World Indoor Championships to earn a silver medal in the 1500-meter final. Ethiopia's Ferwene Hailu won gold in 4:01.46, and Nikki came in less than a second behind for the third fastest indoor 1500-meter performance in U.S. history. Team New Balance Boston's Emily Mackay finished third for bronze. The U.S. had a super strong showing at the World Indoor Championships. We topped the medal table with 20 total medals. 7 of those came in middle distance events, including 4 in the 1500 meters with Nikki, Emily, Cole Hawker, and Hobbs Kessler. You can catch some recent episodes with Cole and Hobbs on the City of Smack podcast feed. In this episode, Nikki recaps their whole trip to Glasgow, the learnings from another world championship experience, the statement made by American distance runners, and how their outlook shifts to the outdoor season now. Without further ado, here is fan favorite Nikki Hiltz. All right, fifth time on the show. Welcome back, Nikki Hiltz, the world championship silver medalist in the 1500. Now, how does that feel, I guess, to have a world medal attached to your name, I guess, for the rest of your career? This is awesome.
Oh man, that's so cool. But one of the first things Emily and I joked about on the cool down was like we both basically have Pan Am medals, and they always like always the first thing they announce on the start line is like Pan Am gold medalist, and we're like, hell yeah, we get an upgrade from Pan Am. And like no, it's so cool. I mean, I like can believe it but can't believe it, and yeah, I'm just super
Wait,
happy.
so this is a very funny question. I guess what has your career progression been on that starting line intro? I always find it hilarious when it's like there's an athlete there and it's been many years removed from like their college days, but it's still like two-time Big East 5K champion. So for you, since turning pro, what has it just kind of like progressed to? Because now it'll be world indoor silver medalist.
Yeah, you hope. I mean, some people might hold on to that Pan Am gold. But yeah, it's when I first turned pro, it was like NCAA, two-time NCAA runner-up was a big one. Seven-time All-American, like yeah, just a lot of like my college accolades. And then sometimes some people will throw in like California state champ. I'm like, okay. Yeah, but usually ever since Pan Am's in 2019, it's been that. But actually, I mean, after this summer, it was like, you know, national champion the 1500, and even this past out like in the 2023 outdoor season, everyone brought up the indoor 1500 national champ, and then as soon as outdoor happened, it's not outdoor. So I don't know. I mean, people just I would love it if it was like something so rare, like SEC DMR champion, you know, like throw out like random stuff like that. Which it's like it's true, I am that, but like I just think that
Third
would be
place
great.
finisher at the NCAA regional as a junior, like get super hyper focused and
Yeah.
specific.
If I ever like I've thrown around the idea of doing like an elite race at the Pride 5K or like a elite road mile or something, just because that's my event, and I'm gonna do that for all the pros that do it. I'm gonna pick the most like random accolade and like have the announcer announce
Yeah,
that.
Long Island Mile, fourth place finisher, whatever it might be. Okay, so this time around, you win US indoors again. How different does it feel to make a world indoor team versus a world outdoor team? And now you're making a habit of making teams, which is a great habit to have.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it's always special to make a team. I think, especially a world one. And yeah, there's a little bit of an asterisk to this because it's indoor, not outdoor. But no, still the same. Like USA's was just okay. Just get it done. You have the standard. Just be top two. And I'm just so competitive. Of course, I wanted to win. I want another national title. And but yeah, this one meant a little bit more than last year's title because there was a team on the line. And yeah, it was definitely a bit more aggressive of a race at nationals. I think last year I won it in like 4:17, and this year is like 4:08. So yeah, no, it's so cool and like just so fun getting that USA gear and traveling overseas. And yeah, I mean it's I hope it's always like I mean when I made my first world team was 2019, and then I didn't make another one until 2023. And so I think going 4 years without making one, every time I make one, it's a big deal. And I'm always going to be like, this is a big deal and a huge honor because you never know how, if it's ever going to happen again, just because that's how competitive the US is. So yeah, I was honored and it was super fun. And it's a little different too, because there's only two per event, you know, not three. So it's kind of a smaller group out there, a little bit more intimate. But yeah, I was just stoked going on the plane over. I was just really excited to get another experience at a World Champs.
Now, for me, having not attended World Indoors, I was left to watch every moment of the broadcast and then like consuming all of the interviews that were coming out of the mix zone. And the first day or so, when people were getting bounced in early rounds of things, even on the broadcast, like there was a mention of just like, oh, people are training through this meet to prepare for like the outdoor season. And there were some athletes who were saying something similar to where it's like, oh, yeah, I'm just training through world indoors. Like for you, did you have to kind of get rid of sort of that mindset and just treat this as like, no, this is a world championship. We have to treat these things like at a high level if you really want to perform to your best ability. How did you kind of take that side of things away where it's like, oh yeah, I could be at home getting ready for outdoor season, but instead, like, this is my chance to add, a world title or medal to my name.
Yeah, I mean, I treated this race like a big deal. You know, it's a world championship. And I think that the Olympics are not that far away, right? Like the trials are coming up. So I think you're supposed to be fit right now or whatever. That's just how I've always done it in North season. And then kind of afterwards taking a couple weeks down and then really get ready for the outdoor season. That's just kind of always how I've done it, you know, ever since NCAAs. And so I think, yeah, it was just like, of course I'm going to do it. Okay, cool. A team's on the line. Like, I would love to go there and be fit. I actually wanted to initially run the 3K at Worlds, but I didn't get the standard at Melrose. So I was like, okay, 15 a days. And I actually think I would have done better in the 15 than that 3K is a little fast. But yeah, I was always going to do this. And it was really cool to see like the big studs and stars in our sport, like Noah being there. And I mean, on the distance side, I think we sent our best Americans, like definitely a lot of, you know, Jared and Cole and Hobbs, like, yeah, just like people at the top. So yeah, I was always gonna, you know, take this seriously and try to get a medal. And yeah.
You took every round seriously. In our group chat, it blew up immediately in that as you just kind of sprinted in the final 100 to get the win in the semifinal or the first of two rounds. And it was like, well, why'd you do that? And you got asked that just kind of immediately after the race. Like, you didn't want to just empty the tank in the first round, but why did sort of running hard through the line, getting the win there matter so much to you? You said afterwards, winning's a habit.
Yeah, there was actually two reasons I did that. First was Mike and I, one of the last things we talked about before the race was like, because we had been watching the, you know, the 800s and all these other rounds go. And he's like, hey, none of that bullshit where you like, you think you got it, you ease up, you look around, you like jog in. It's just not worth, like looking cool for 1 second is not worth getting nipped at the line. So that conversation was very fresh in my mind. And then the second reason is I haven't shared this yet, but I have like a bingo card for 2024. And one of my goals or things I want to check off is I want to win 10 races. And because last year I think I won 9 races. And I'm counting that as a, like, if I could win, I'm not gonna not. I gotta add it to the tally. So yeah, that was my third win of 2024. And I'm counting it, even if it's a
Oh,
prelim.
I love that. That's a great
Yeah.
goal.
Yeah.
So then after that race, you kind of recovery takes priority. Next day, you wake up with a sore throat. Is that what happened?
Race day, I woke up with a sore throat. So actually, I was feeling pretty good. Friday was round one. Saturday, day off. I was feeling pretty fine. I think like Saturday evening, kind of when I was eating dinner, I was like, "Uh-oh, I kind of feel something like coming on." And what had happened was my roommate had gotten sick, and she basically told me she was sick, and they were gonna move rooms and everything, but so yeah, it was like I knew it was a possibility because I had been like exposed, but I was like, I'm gonna be fine. And I felt so great in the prelim. I'm like, it's fine. And then kind of I woke up race day and I was like, oh no, I think this is day one of a sickness. And yeah, so it was race day where I really woke up like, okay, my throat, you know, it hurts to swallow and it's like starting, my sinuses are starting to get a little bit clogged. Like, but I don't know. I don't want to be like, by the race, I was feeling fine. Like I had slept all day and I had like, you know, taken ibuprofen and like just kind of drank tea all day long. Yeah, like I don't want to be like, oh, I was sick. I could have, you know, like obviously I was feeling well enough to run 402. Like it was just I didn't, I guess I didn't feel 100%, but yeah.
But then mentally, how do you check yourself so you're just like not panicking at that point that like, oh, all this hard work came all this way, and then now this thing's gonna get me.
Totally. I mean, that was the challenge. That was like, because I did my shakeout like noon, and I was like, okay, when I run, I feel fine. Like, you know, but it was really just telling myself like, this is gonna happen. Like, this happens all the time in sport. Like, you know, you have a tiny little tweak or like feeling sick. Like, it's so rare that you're staying on the start line like 100% firing on all cylinders. And so, I thought it. I kind of approached it as like, this is a really cool challenge to like, how well can I do in a race when like it isn't going my way, and kind of just really taking it like step by step. Like my whole focus that day was to like sleep as much as I could or drink a ton of liquids, like instead of like hyper-focusing on the race or replaying the race in my head over and over again. Like, it was just like, okay, let's just take this thing one step at a time. And then as far as like race strategy too, I talked to Mike and he obviously knew how I was feeling. And he's like, I think we just take a little bit of more of a conservative approach to this race. And so it did affect like my race plan completely shifted because of how I was feeling. But I don't know, like it's a 4-minute long race. Like, I'm really tough and I'm really competitive. I'm also really fit right now. So I think it was like, I think you can still do something. Like, I don't, I'm just kind of the mental, like, do not count yourself out because of this. Like, was kind of like what I was telling myself all day. And the race ended up being not crazy fast. So that also played into my advantage. Like, I would say on that day, I think the fastest I could have ran was 4:02. And then, but had I been 100%, maybe like, I don't know, 4 flat, like, I don't know. So yeah, it was just kind of moment by moment thing. And yeah, don't count yourself out.
Yeah, they talk about Jordan's flu game. This is Nikki's sore throat race. Like, that's what it's going to go down in the track and field history books as. Mike made a one bullet comment that I thought was just so fascinating. Have you ever heard anything like that from him? Like, explain it, yeah. I guess, like, to the people, like, where that one came from. It was, I guess, like, his last minute sort of advice.
Yeah, he's like, you're, I mean, I'm someone that's used to, by bullet, he means, like, gears. Yeah. And, like, you know, he's like, you're used to having like 3 gears. Like, I can go at 400 and then I can go again at 200. And then my last one's at 100. Like, that's kind of what he was referencing. He's like, you know, you're used to having 3 bullets in the chamber, but I think you have one today, or you might get there and be like, because I'm feeling off, I just have one shot. And so he's like, just be really smart, racially smart. And then you try to get a medal. And you know, that was kind of that comment. But yeah, I think we talk about gears and shit. I do a ton of shifting workouts where I'll go out, like, I'll do 200s all the time where it's like 16 is the first, 16 is the first 100, and then like 14 or 13 is the next 100. Like, just shift off an already fast pace is kind of, I think, what you need to practice in like this event.
The presenting sponsor of the Sidious Mac podcast is Olipop. You know, we've been pounding Olipop for over a year now. 2023 was a track season to remember, and Sidious Mag was able to be there for all of the big moments thanks to the incredible support of Olipop. What has become known as the runner's soda isn't just a great companion for pregame shows or post-race shows, or if you're just watching at home and want to crack a can of Olipop open yourself, it's good for you too. It's a prebiotic soda with 9 grams of fiber, which is 32% of your daily needs, that only has 2 to 5 grams of sugar and helps your digestive health in a way that a threshold workout never could. We love it because there are 15 incredible flavors that will keep your body refreshed and ready to go for the next workout. My current favorite is lemon lime. Caitlin Tui's number one flavor is ginger lemon. There are other great flavors like vintage cola, tropical punch, orange squeeze, cherry vanilla, and I'm hearing rumors of another one coming soon. Sidious Mag podcast listeners get 25% off non-subscription orders by using code SIDIOUS25 at checkout at drinkolipop.com. You can also find Olipop at Whole Foods, Sprouts, Kroger, Target, Walmart, Publix, and most recently, they just got added to Costco, so pro tip there. Next time you're looking for a refreshing and healthy drink after that long run or hard workout, reach for an Olipop. You won't be disappointed. Drinkolipop.com, code SIDIOUS25. So then halfway through the race, everyone is still bunched up. I have the replay going right next to me. And how many bullets then does Emily have? Because Emily just fires one 400 meters to go. To your point, like, I guess in some of the comments you made after the race, it was like, oh, I thought she miscounted laps. I thought so too for like a split second.
She went for it. That was so badass. And I'm so happy that like that big move, like, she got rewarded for that, because that was just epic. Like, I literally, she went, and the gap that she got on us so quickly, I was like, I blew it. I was like, I'm getting fourth and Emily's going to win worlds. Like, you know, like, and, but I just was like, I don't know. I just tried to close it down and stay patient and like, just wait until 200. But yeah, that was an epic move. And I think definitely caught us all off guard, in the best way. And like, yeah, she's just, that was pretty sick.
It was like from seventh to first and then just pushing from the front. It was epic. But even before, like, we got to the race, the call room beforehand, like, I want to talk about the final 2 laps
in a bit, but to set the stage, in the call room, Maya's going crazy over the 3K with George winning. And then, you get to watch Cole and Hobbs in the men's 1500. Can you describe, I guess, then what that momentum and I guess sort of that, I don't know, it's not like Team USA, rah, rah, like pride that just comes over you. How does that like momentum feel, I guess? Like, it was something that you talked about. It's like, okay, our turn is next. And it's like, you get to take center stage.
Totally. I mean, there was just awesome races like all weekend long, and like to see that right before you go out, it was like, let's go. Yeah, I mean, I was watching Cole. I thought Cole was gonna win, and then it was like came out of nowhere. And yeah, no, I mean, it was just like the best possible thing to see right before you go out, and you have to go do your race. And it was really cool because like we don't really ever get that. Like we're always followed, or like the men are always after us. So yeah, it was cool. It was cool to sit there and watch the whole race, and Hobbs like just going to the front, controlling it, like epic, and just running with like no fear. And I think that for me at least was like, okay, like go out and yeah, our turn.
Even the day before with like Ellie winning, like does that do something to lift like the team morale around things? Like, oh, we're having a great, showing as a team at the World Championships.
Totally, 100%. That was the most incredible thing I've ever seen. Like Ellie outkicked Sagai in a fast race. Like it wasn't even like it was like slow and tactical. Like she ran 8:20 and had a kick. It was like, holy shit! Like this is like we. Like I think it's just like sometimes we put people on pedestals of like unbeatable and untouchable. And yeah, she outkicked the world record holder like it was nothing. And yeah, it was just awesome to see. And yeah, I was actually at the meet, and yeah, it was just like the coolest thing I've ever witnessed. Like, and so, of course, you're like, it makes you believe a little bit more too. Like, damn, maybe anything's possible, and it is.
So then back to your race. When do you fire your bullet?
Right at the bell. I think I that next 100 was, I think, my fastest 100. Like, but then I think. I ended up having another one with like 50 to go. Yeah.
All right, you surprised yourself there at the end. Crossing the finish line, you realize you've earned a silver medal. Emily right behind you. Then you decide to just immediately, I guess, celebrate, but then right into the cameras. You saw it right in front of Justin, which ended up being perfect because you know him as a photographer. He'll get the shot. It'll be up ASAP. But was that something that you pre-planned beforehand?
I mean, definitely not. I think I like fell to the ground because I was so tired, and I was like, yeah, I think I just sat down. And yeah, and then what happened was I'm sitting there, Emily just sits next to me because we're like, what the heck? And then what happened was the photographers were like, Nikki, 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 and then we turned, and then we like lied down, and then we were just hamming up the cameras. And like, yeah, it was just, I don't know, it was so crazy. Like that was like, I think one of the, like I crossed the line, and I was like, this is the happiest I've ever been. Like, what the hell just happened? And like, yeah. And then to turn around and Emily's right there, it was like, no way. Like, we just like did it. And like, yeah, it was just such a like, I don't know. I don't think I'll ever forget that moment of like, what did we just do? And yeah, I'm glad there's some wholesome pics to remember it forever.
Then after the race, you take a moment to talk to the media there. You said afterwards the United States made a statement that weekend in Glasgow. What is the statement you think that Team USA made in the middle distance?
That we're here to medal. Like we all like work so hard, and no one works harder than any of us. It's just like you just have to do it on the day. And like yeah, I think we all just like did it, and it's so cool. And obviously it's like indoors, there's sure there's an asterisk to it. It's not the Olympics or world champs, but like it's a race when it matters. It's a championship meet, and like there's medals on the line, and we are so competitive. We're gonna run fearless. We're gonna be like Hobbs Kessler's like 20 years old, and he just led the whole thing. And like Emily, like it's her first world champs, and she's like, fuck it, I'm just gonna take the lead. Like, it's just like we're going to make bold moves. Like, we're going to be really hard to beat. And I think that that's like the momentum we're taking in the outdoors. And yeah, that's the statement we're making. And we all want to be, we're all so competitive and want our dreams to come true. And I don't know, why not us?
No, I love that. And then final question is, do we feel like it inside your head as an athlete at this level, is it sort of like now you enjoy this moment, you take your break, clean slate, and sort of like you're thinking toward the outdoor season? Or is it just keep the good times rolling? And like, it feels like a combination of both those things where you have to like let those results go, focus on what's to come next. How do you approach and reframe your mindset now for the outdoor season?
Like, take all the energy and momentum and positivity from what just happened. And like, I don't know. I mean, after that race, I think something switched of like, wait, maybe I can medal like at the Olympics, or maybe I like can like, I don't know, do something really cool. And like, I think you take that and you hold it and run with it. But physically, you obviously, you know, I'm sick now. So taking a week down week, and then, yeah, I mean, I just, it's crazy, our sport. It's like, it's so just dependent on this one day and like how you do in this one race, you know, at the trials and then at the Olympics and things like that. So, I mean, my mentality for this year is like, I'm going to wake up every day and like put in my best effort and bring my best attitude to practice or whatever I'm doing. And then if I do that every single day, I'm going to wake up and that day is going to be that one day in June. And, you know, I'm going to do the same thing that day, like put in my absolute best effort, bring my best attitude, and like, yeah, execute a great race. And so I think that's the goal. And like, yeah, I don't know. So it's a bit of both, like you said, like the bring the momentum. And yeah, but also like just keep doing what you're doing.
Velus is the active recovery footwear brand that is designed to help you restore, revive, and re-energize before and after you train. They are launching two new styles to their recovery mix for spring 2024, the Active Slide and the Active Flip collection. These active recovery sandals are super lightweight and equipped with Velus's three-part tri-motion technology. They cradle your heel with impact-absorbing foam that cushions your feet with every step. It's got amazing arch support and forefoot flex that allows your fatigued feet and toes to stretch and relax. Velus is focused on helping athletes recover faster before and after you train so you can get after your next run performing at your best. Run, recover, repeat with Velus. Enjoy a 20% discount by entering code SidiousMag20 at checkout at velusfootwear.com.
All right, let's take a couple questions from the listeners that were submitted on Instagram. Marissa Runs asks, will you get a tattoo to commemorate this recent epic experience?
Yes, that's the tea. Emily, basically Mark Coogan told Emily, and I was there to hear it, so he can't even go back on this. He said, after the prelim, he said, if you medal, I'll get the Loch Ness Monster tattooed. And I was like, I want the Loch Ness Monster tattoo. And then he's like, okay, if you medal, you'll get one too. And so then we literally have this like packed, like me. So we finish and we're like, okay, me, Mark, and Emily are getting Loch Ness Monster tattoos. And he's like going back on his word. He's like, no, I said gold. And we're like, no, you didn't. So yeah, Emily's actually like from, her family's from Scotland. So like, she's like, I'll get it. Like, also I just meddled. Of course I'll get it. And I have a million tattoos. I'm like, I don't care. What's one more? And then, so we just got to get Mark Coogan on board. And then it's, yeah, it's over from there. But I definitely, I think I'm going to get it no matter what. Like a cute little, like dinosaur looking Loch Ness Monster.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. I was like, oh, does Emily have any tattoos already? Because it's like, oh, this will be the first one. I know some people hold out for like the dream of like the Olympic rings, but then at your point, mm-hmm. like you're like, oh, my body's a canvas. I've got legs are feeling good tattooed over my elbow.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it can't get worse than that.
Exactly.
Tigi Loves asks, how do you combat race day anxiety? Do you have any mantras? And this is, I guess, maybe a little bit related to like Hobbs talking openly on in his post-race interview about just how he was trying to keep his cool in the call room and just like battling some of those, mental challenges on the day of a race. And you wrote on Twitter just how like some of your races have been left in the call room as a result. So what do you do to kind of mentally lock in?
I just really focus on like executing, and I focus on like whatever my race plan is. I just, you know, you can get so caught up in the outcome and the expectation of like wanting to win or wanting a medal, but like you don't get those moments unless you execute. And so like whenever I get nervous or like my mind just kind of goes to like, yeah, the outcome, I go back to like process, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to get out hard. Okay. The middle lap, I'm going to float. Okay. Then the third lap, that's going to be the hardest lap, and I can just like grind. And then like, I kind of just go through each lap and what I'm going to do. With the race. And then that, I think focusing on doing has really helped me get less nervous, I guess. Cause that's something that's in my control, is like, okay, how am I going to execute perfectly? Yeah.
Tiki Loves also asked, what is their favorite race day song?
I've listened to a lot of Hannah Montana recently.
Oh, that's right. Actually, yeah, you made that on your Instagram story. You posted about that.
I rediscovered the song Rockstar by Hannah Montana. And that is, nothing gets me more hype now.
Perfect. Emma_Gee1777 asks, when are you going to update your Instagram bio? I need to see silver medalist ASAP.
Oh my God. I'll do it after this interview.
let's see what else we got here. House of Sweets asks, considering how cutthroat the US trials can be, how do you create team bonds? I was curious about this because like, yes, you're like fierce competitors with these people you're going up against, but I felt like it was nothing but friendship from like you and Emily, you and Maya. Like you had some pretty nice things to say about Maya after the Millrose games. And then you two are just like bumping fists, like right before the starting line. So I guess like it's all fun and games, I guess, until the trials, right?
I think it's all fun and games until the gun goes off. Like, I think like we're all like friends, like until those 4 minutes, we're all just super competitive and all want to do what we want to do. But, I wish 12 people could make the Olympic team, but it is only three. And I don't know. I think there's no one else in the world other than my competitors who like know what I go through, like who know the grind, who know the like nerves and pressure. Like, and so I think there is this like unspoken like bond and just really shared admiration for each other. At least that's how I feel about it. And like, I was talking to Coogan about it too. And we're just like, it's so crazy because we are like, you know, he wants like his girls to beat me at the trials and I want to beat them. And it's like, but he's like, it's so hard when everyone's like just such a good person. And like, I don't know. I think that's what I love about our sport. And like, we're all just like huge fans of each other. And like, there is like, I think you see more like shit talking in things like the sprints. Than the distance, because like I'm not to say what this is not because like what the sprinters do is like easy by any means. I just think we all have such a respect for how hard distance running can be, and like you're never gonna like, I will never go into a race being like I'm gonna beat you or whatever, because I'm like I'll be humbled so quick because anything can happen, and it's just so hard and difficult, and like I don't know, I just can't imagine ever doing that. So I don't know. I mean, I do think we need maybe a villain in the 1500 because it is a little bit too wholesome. But I don't know. At the same time, it's like, I love it. I love that stuff.
Well, I can think of one person who's coming back next year who could play the villain role fairly easily. But anyway, for you, I guess, like how one thing I love about you is just sort of like I was scrolling through Twitter and just seeing how many likes you throw at things. And it's sort of like, you just mentioned that whole thing about the sprinters. It's like, at the same time, you've got your popcorn out. Like you are, as a fan of the sport, just like.
I love it.
Taking in all of the drama.
Oh, I love the tea. Yeah, I'm like, whenever I like, I want to know like what happened at that relay camp last summer. like I want to know, I'm like, what's the tea? Like, who do we hate? Like, what's the vibes? No, I think that's just because I'm a Gemini rising, but no, I just love the sport. I think I'm like just such a fan, and Yeah, I'm just a big track nerd, just like you, Chris.
Yep. All right, final question from one of the listeners. Who made their necklace and what does it mean to them?
Yeah, the BEM necklace. Yeah, yeah. My friend Jessa Hansen made it. Shout out. She made me a couple last summer and maybe a new one for Worlds. It's like rainbow instead of, yeah, no, it's cute. I love it. I mean, I'm a proud non-binary person, and my pronouns are they, them, and it also says them, and it's like, I feel like to me this weekend, like, them stood for like every single person in the non-binary trans community, like them, like those people, like you know, it's been a hard last month, I think, for the non-binary community. We lost someone named Next Benedict, and yeah, there's a lot of bullying and harassment and hate towards the trans community, and it's purely because people feel empowered to other people, and when you other a group of people, that's when hate crimes can happen, and it's yeah, it's a really terrible thing, and I want to like do the opposite of that. I want to be like impossible to be othered. Like, I belong here. Like, I am on this stage, like taking up space on the start line. The announcers are using my pronouns, and it's not weird. It's normal, and it's not othering. And like, yeah, I and all my competitors like love and support me, and like, so I want that for every trans person, and like, I want to show like, yeah, I guess that I belong. We all belong, and we are here, and like, you can't other us or dehumanize us. And so, yeah, that's what I meant this weekend in Albuquerque. Like, I feel like that's like, yeah, that's just where I'm at right now with it. And yeah, it's a cute necklace. I also have I have three now, so I think I want to give away some of them. I don't know how I'm going to do that yet, but I would love to have more people out there with these them necklaces.
No, I love that. All right, last thing before I let you go is, and one of the new questions I'm asking at the end of every episode is, what is your Roman Empire in running? Like, what is the one race or workout or whatever it might be that you constantly think about just at random times? Like, for example, for a lot of people, it's Emily Sisson's 10K at the Olympic trials. And I think this weekend, maybe there's some Roman Empires that came out of this weekend. You think about Ellie's win in the 3K often, but for you, what is your Roman Empire in running?
My Roman Empire is the move Emily Mackay made at 400 to go. That will forever be my Roman Empire. That was incredible. No, I mean, yeah, that's literally, I keep thinking about it. But no, I don't know. That's a great question. I mean, I do also think about Emily Sisson's 10K a lot. That was pretty badass. Oh, I'll say this. It was definitely like 2017 Emma Coburn and Courtney Ferris going 1-2. Like,
that's a good one.
That moment. That is incredible. And that, you know, I felt Emma DM'd me afterwards, and I replied, I was like, I felt like you and Courtney out there, because it's just like, it is so special to win a medal. Like, that is so rare. It never happens. And to do it, turn around and see another US teammate also do the same thing. Like, oh my gosh, like, it just, the best feeling in the world. So yeah, I would say those two in 2017, because I think that also set the tone of like, wow, these two are competitors and they go head to head. Like, Courtney has the American record, but Emma is like a 10-time national champ. They're each other's, you know, biggest rivalries, and then they can just turn around and be like, just celebrate together. I think that really set the tone for, I'm like, okay, that's cool. Like, that's, I want to be that. And I want to, if I'm ever lucky enough to win a medal, like, I hope I'm just lucky enough to have a teammate do it with me. And it's crazy to think that happened. And yeah, no, I think about that race a lot.
No, I love that. Nikki, congratulations on the medal. Enjoy your break. Hopefully you get this sore throat cough out of the way soon to get back into training and things. But no, I appreciate you doing this.
Thank you. Yeah, and I'm sorry for coughing throughout the interview.
No, you're good.
Gonna edit those out. No, thanks so much, Chris. This is great.
Thank you all for listening to this episode. This episode was produced by Jasmine Fair. I love doing this for you guys, so please do me a favor and leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. That helps us grow the show and get even more awesome guests. Let me know what you're enjoying about the show. Make sure you're subscribed or following on your favorite podcast players. please share this episode with your friends if you think that they'll get any value or inspiration out of it. Let's build this thing together. Visit CityofSmack.com for a lot more. We've got a brand new website with tons more articles, videos, and podcasts. As always, I love track and field. I'm Chris Chavez. See you next time.